Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to another episode of the Crow Pod, and joining me, Shane, is of course David Egger. Hello, David.
Hello, everyone. Nice to be here. Literally, it's nice to be anywhere after the last fucking couple of weeks. But yeah. Welcome to the three old men grumbling about illness podcast.
And hey, Todd Van Allen. Hi, Todd.
Oh, my wanking arm.
Oh man, it is the worst. It is the worst. Just can't tug it like you used to. I
mean, no.
I just wanted to say, related
to this, my favorite bit of slang for something has always been the other word for bed, which is wanking chariot. Yes. Can I just say, I would put that as an arm tattoo, like make it into a sleeve.
It's a cum canoe.
That's also pretty splendid. But yeah, I mean, it's age. It's you get to a stage where the idea of I'll go and lie down for a bit because I don't feel well. But then you're so uncomfortable by the simple act of lying down. Nobody told you about this. It's like, sure, God, if you're taking away my ability to actually move about, then surely by compromise you should make somehow better comfy, not sorer, not harder, not weird.
I just hate it because, you know, it'll be late, I'll be incredibly, incredibly tired, but yeah, I have to go through that. But like, god damn it, I gotta get out of my chair, I gotta walk upstairs, I gotta brush my teeth, I gotta lay down, then work on that whole comfort process of trying to get the pillows back in the room. Because it's never right night to night. Mm-hmm. They got to be in totally different ways. It's just awful.
Oh, we in the Van Allen household have a new wrinkle to all of the sleeping nonsense. Add to the fact that, you know, there needs to be some geography available to you in the bed to be able to get comfortable.
Space.
Yes, right.
Uncharted territory.
Uncharted, right? So we have a decent sized bed, so you know I can have sort of my area of the bed that I have annexed, and my wife can have the rest, right? And that's the way it's been. And I start on my back, then I go to my side, and nighty night. That's the way it is. There's been a new wrinkle because now suddenly, unbeknownst to me, the dog is now allowed on the bed. And there goes, like, it is now like when you've got two people playing Risk and then suddenly a third guy comes in and goes, can I be Africa? And then it's like, fuck, come on. And and the beautiful part is my wife let him on the bed last night. And so the thing hogged the covers. The beautiful part was when she woke up this morning, I was like, thank you for letting the dog on the bed. I really didn't sleep well last night. She's like, oh, did I invite the dog in the bed? Like, she has no memory of this now. So this is all just kind of happening unbeknownst to her.
This seems like a conspiracy between the wife and the dog.
I think money is changing hands.
Yeah.
I think there's a paper bag with the email address, right?
Go and check the dog's email and you'll find, and he's probably hidden away in a separate folder, the email. But this is just to confirm that you have booked to sleep in our bed commencing the 16th of August 2021. This shall remain in perpetuity. Signed, Todd's wife.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's like a Verbo as well.
Yeah. Oh, well, we only have PayPal up here, so now he's got an account. So.
Well, our dogs do sleep with us, they always have, but Bertie's no problem because he just lies between our pillows. And mm-hmm. really, you, Todd, got, you know, super king size beds, there's plenty of room. And Bertie just literally lies in the gap between my pillow and Sally, so no problem at all. But mm-hmm. Daisy, who's a little ADH dog, she just cannot sit still for more than a cup. So basically, she just spends the night, you know, sleep for an hour, then up. And she doesn't like to be up on her own. She prefers some company. So she'll kind of come up and try and get you to play. And of course, you go, fuck off, dog. And she'll go, and she'll go, okay, then, right. Clearly, you don't want to wake up. I'll just lick your toes for a while. So of course, you can't fucking sleep then either. She's an absolute pain in the arse. But we're all in a little spot. But she's the rogue element. You know, she's the Taliban of sleeping at Ed's house.
Oh boy.
Yeah, they're back. It really is turning into, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, isn't it?
Well, yeah. For the young team, this is what it was.
This is it, yeah. The Taliban are back. And this
running
time,
away with the league and crashing out of Europe.
This is what it was like. I mean, seriously, we only need a dial-up internet and that's us home. You know what I mean? 15 minutes.
Let's wait for Shane's service to drop. Yeah. Then we'll.
God. Oh, yeah.
It hasn't rained for a few days. We should be okay.
Right.
Fucking hell.
It was stupid wet.
I was talking to you because we've been mired in a drought all summer. So then we get 3 inches of rain in like 35 minutes. It doesn't soak in. It just fills up streets and things like that. So it was, or my basement, as we saw.
You know it's bad when you go down to your basement and there's some show off prick with a boat and two animals of each kind swanning about, and he's such a smug looking bastard. He's like, I fucking told you, get out my basement, Noah, you wank. We've had a fun old couple of weeks. We've had previously traditional Rangers exit from Europe somehow. Managed to shoot ourselves in the foot with that, and of course everybody panicked and lost their shit. Mm-hmm. Because do you think it is the social media age, or are we just becoming more panicky as a species? Do we need to vent more?
Yeah, a little bit of both, you know. I mean, obviously the world's a hellscape, so you know, you look for football to be that release, but then you can see the goal on a fucking throw-in.
Twice. The same goal twice.
Yeah.
To 10 men. And you're absolutely raging. And then, of course, everybody said to me afterwards, you know, well, why didn't you ask Gerrard this? Why didn't you ask Gerrard that? And I'm like, because I was fucking seething. So you're mm-hmm. trying to control it, because otherwise you are going to go, what the fuck was that? You know, it's a fucking throw-in, for Christ's sake. It's hardly anything difficult. And it's not, you are going to be thrown out of the press room for that, regardless of any press room in the world. Shane, you've been to more press conferences than me. If you tell the guy on the stage he's a fucking dipshit, he is not going to answer your question, I find.
No, you got to wait till you're in the hallway afterward. To do that.
That's a quiet one, but that was... But still, I found something out about, you know, this UEFA Conference League, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing I found out about this UEFA Conference League is that it's essentially like gonorrhea.
And
that once you're in it, you can't get out of it. So if Rangers beat Alex Caret, then we go into the Europa League, right? Fine, job done. If Rangers don't beat Alex Caret, we go into the Conference League. If Rangers go into the Europa League and qualify as one of the top two teams in our group, we go to the last 32. Mm-hmm. If Rangers finish third in our group, guess where we go to?
Mm-hmm.
The Conference League.
the Tottenham holding place.
It is almost impossible to get knocked out of this fucking tournament.
Right.
It's the first UEFA tournament that's ever been mandatory.
Right. It's designed by the same people who created the paths in IKEA.
Okay.
You can't leave. You think, oh, here's a shortcut. I'll go through bedding. Fuck, nope. There's the kitchens. Okay. Let's try dinnerware. Nope. Yeah. Fuck. Outside. Okay.
IKEA is basically the REM song "Can't Get There From Here" brought to life. You know, when you just but I'm off IKEA as well, obviously, because of all things Swedish, the cultural boycott going on in Edgar's house. Well, admittedly, that doesn't affect me much. It just means don't play ABBA records, and I don't like ABBA, and don't buy any IKEA furniture, which is easy enough done. So
right.
They don't really produce a lot else, the Swedes, do they?
Meatballs,
Volvos.
Volvos.
Yeah. You ever see a Volvo these days, actually?
Oh,
yeah, my neighbor has one.
Is Gus Gus Icelandic or are they Swedish?
Who?
Gus yeah. Gus.
let's just say they're Swedish for the sake of this story.
They're Icelandic. I'm wrong. Sorry.
Well, over here anyway, you don't tend to see Volvos. Of course, I've done that thing now. That you, me, Todd, everyone listening to this, all we'll see for the next week is fucking Volvos, because yes. Our mind will be totally tuned in to seeing Volvos. But let's hear from the Volvo owners. Why did you go for a Volvo rather than a car? It's essentially a fucking wardrobe with an engine, isn't it? I mean,
do you guys remember I think it was the Dudley Moore movie, Crazy People?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Volvos, they're boxy and safe.
Give me some truth. I like little boys. I didn't mean about that. that's a great movie. That's got the wee guy in it, the hello, hi, hello. Him, isn't it? That one. Wee hello, guy that can hello. Only say hello. Yeah. Oh, he's in everything, that the mid-90s. One of these guys that never had a starring role in anything, but you know, pops up in everything. A bit like Cameo in Heart and Hand, really. I slag him off, but honestly, I couldn't have done without him in the last week because it's just been literally, you know, Cameo do it, Cameo do it, right. Cameo do it. And he took a week off work so he could do Heart and Hand stuff. I mean, how dedicated is that?
Good God,
so
right.
Yeah, I thought about rewarding him in some way and decided against it because you don't want to encourage him, do you?
Then they get in there, you don't get rid of them. It's like,
exactly, you get ideas, but it was
he's like the Europa Conference.
Well, that was, right, so I go to the doctor, get some news. Now I'm not dying, folks, I'm delighted to tell you, but I have to make some lifestyle changes. Like I'll need to eat a vegetable.
3% of the listeners are saddened by this, but the rest of us are very
but I'll need to make some changes, one of which, as I say, involves occasionally eating a vegetable that isn't on top of a burger, apparently. And do you know there's a stuff called fruit? You can eat that instead of crisps, I've been told.
What?
I know. Honestly, that's one of the suggestions. Why not eat an apple? Because it's not crisps. But so
you
could
buy apple crisps and you could be miserable forever.
Oh, that's Jesus.
Honey crisp apples.
Oh, fuck.
It's literally got crisp in there.
It's not really worth living on, is it then, if that's the alternative? But so, you know, I get all this and I'm thinking, right, what do I do? If, you know, the worst happens. So I thought, I'll try and get life insurance. No fucking chance. Nobody is insuring. Doesn't matter how much I offer to pay them. There's no. So they're like, right, okay, alcoholic, yep. Drug user, formerly, yes. Take any prescription medicine. Oh, sit yourself down. We're going to be here a while, mate. Okay, any depression? Oh, yep, loads of that shit. Stressful job? Oh. Very much so. Any other serious medical conditions? Just these four. Okay, thanks, Mr. Edgar. It's been fun. No, we're not insuring you, but perhaps if you'd like to go to Dr. Nick Riviera Insurance Solutions, they might offer you. So I had to kind of work out what would happen in the event that, you know, I do pass away. So I said to the boys, I was like, this is how it's going to work. This is how I'm going to structure it. And basically, you know, you get this at the site, you get that at the site, and you would run it, and but you still need to pay Sally X amount, right? And of course, everybody, when you do that, says, oh, don't talk about stuff like that. And I'm like, but what if I do die? Were you going, oh, you're not going to die, don't talk about stuff like that. Well, what if I do and I haven't done all this, you know? Then you'll all be going, lazy bastard.
What I love is that, you know, Shane and I will be the last ones to know, so we'll just be in here like the war is still going on, going, well, I guess I don't know why he's not here, but we'll put this out anyway, and you know, yeah. Hopefully we'll get David back on soon.
It'll be like me missing week. 2 weeks ago. You know?
Oh, that was a belter, because we've mentioned this to Shane a few times, but right, start of the show, well, Shane, right, he's not here, mm-hmm. Fair enough. So the call's on and we're messaging Shane, just join anytime. The longer it went, it moved from being, oh, you know, Shane's not made it, to, oh my God, what if he's hurt himself?
Right.
So the longer until we heard from you, there was like, and eventually messaged us, and of course he was like, I'm really sorry I missed it. It was like, no, but we are genuinely just glad you're okay.
Yeah.
Shane is like that plane in that Netflix show that doesn't show up for 20 years, and then suddenly he's like, whoa, what's going on? What's
wrong? Hey, everybody. Yeah, but again, you know, we were all kind of listeners as well. I know this for a fact, because people have been telling us that they were sort of like, haha, this is very funny. And then by the end, they're like, what if he fell off his bike again? What
right,
if he's,
yeah.
You know, literally lying in a ditch somewhere going, I need to get back for the podcast. And couldn't hear it. So now we were quite concerned about it.
I am. I'm actually have a very good friend of mine. Got knocked down on his bike. So I think I might be in the clear. It seems like it's transferred out of me onto the people around me. He ended up, he's got like 3 broken ribs, and he's all kinds of fucked up, man. It's not pleasant.
Broken ribs are hellish.
You can't do anything. The one thing you have to do to live is breathe.
And it hurts.
Yeah. I'll just sit here and breathe.
Every single time. And of course, because you've never thought about breathing, you just do it. The second you start to think about it, it becomes almost impossible, and you end up choking yourself. You're sort of sitting going, I wonder, I'm breathing. Fuck! And, you know, you completely forget how to do it. It's a bit like anyone who's been a smoker. Once you start to inhale, or you learn how to inhale, like a cigarette or a vape or whatever, you can't not do it. Until you think about it, and then you're sitting there sucking this, wondering why nothing's happening. It's just, there are some things that just become like automatic. Like some
jumped up 16-year-old trying it out for the first time.
I don't get it, right? What's supposed to happen? No, it's exactly that. And then, of course, once somebody teaches you how to inhale, because it's one of these things you're not allowed to not know. Remember at school the first time somebody handed you a cigarette or a joint or whatever, and you would take it, and rather than say, hey, I don't know how to inhale this, and the guy says, hey,
you got to be fucking James Dean the first time. Yeah.
Yes. I shall just take this. Hold it the way that most people would hold a used tampon.
Right.
Put it up to my lips gingerly, and then sort of go, and of course everybody points and laughs at you. So,
right.
But once you know, it's almost. In fact, a friend of mine got caught for smoking, not because he was actually smoking and his mum got him. It's because he picked up, I think it was like a pen or something. And he went, "Hey, you could smoke this," and he pretended to smoke it, but he inhaled. And his mum went, "You inhaled. You know how to smoke. You've been smoking." Went up to his room, found his cigarettes. Stupid bastard. Hello, Chris, if you're listening, I still remember that. Poor bastard got grounded for a week.
It's not unlike when you're handed your first joint and you know, and you've never done that, and it's like, this has had 18 mouths on it. This is safe. That's fine. My grandfather used to smoke, and the thing that he would do is he would draw in the smoke through the mouth and then exhale it through the nostrils. And I went, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
That's how a man does it.
That's the big move right there.
Yep.
Yep. God. Yeah, see, I wonder, like, in the COVID times, has drug use become a more individual affair? You know, I mean, because you don't want to be touching, you know, I mean, like, there's five states over here where the ICUs are back over 90%, right? Mm. It's not good. So, mm-hmm. I mean, are you still sharing bumps? Do you still pass joints around? I don't know how this works.
I would assume, I mean, like, for instance, heroin. You probably shouldn't share the needle anyway.
No, that's
for other health reasons. A joint, yeah. I mean, under normal circumstances, I suppose the counter argument is if you're putting, you know, black tar shit into, because it's unlikely in this post Brexit world that we're getting top quality gear. Seeing lorry drivers can't come over anymore.
Mm-hmm. I know the Taliban's about to open that market.
Well, yeah. People never point out the positives, do they? They always just straight in with a negative. And you're absolutely correct. Did you see the, and I can't believe I'm about to utter these words, but it's a thing. Did you see the Taliban's press conference?
Yes.
Yeah. I missed it.
No, it's a genuine thing. Well, the Taliban having a press conference.
Okay.
I mean, I was looking at something this morning. Well, between that and then, like, you know, they went on the show with the lady news reader person. Right. And there was, I don't know if it was in the Washington Post or something, but somebody was saying that their, like, media tactics are showing such skill that they've obviously had a PR team working with them. And the only thing I could think is what Republican PR firm has been working with them. Because it's 100% somebody either connected to the Trump side of our party or the Farage side over there, or both. I mean, it's right. Kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was absolutely skillfully handled. That's the thing, as Shane mm-hmm. says. At one point, somebody asked them about censorship, you know, what censorship they're going to bring in. And they said, well, I think the West has got a cheek to criticize us for censorship when you look at Facebook and Twitter. Mm-hmm. And of course, the interviewer, who was full seconds before of just moral righteousness, was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Touché, Taliban.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, next question. You, the tall infidel.
Yeah.
I mean, it had a very very Khrushchev kind of feel to it. Like, yeah, well, you can say that about us, but, mm-hmm. you know, the right. whole way through it. Hey, well, you know, good for it.
Taliban are notoriously unapologetic for the things they get up to. That's we did get an example though of my pet hate. And yeah, fuck it. If I'm going to die soon, I might as well go in a blaze of glory. People, middle class wankers, who travel to places for holidays that aren't places you should travel to for holidays, and then are surprised when it goes tits up. There was a classic of this genre about a guy, you know, 23-year-old, called Julian or Rupert or something similar. And he was biking through Afghanistan.
Yes, because as you
Of mm-hmm. course you do.
Was he carrying a fridge?
Yeah, you know, he was carrying a fucking death wish by the sounds of it. So he runs into some Taliban, and guess what? It went really badly. And he was very fortunate that, probably because of this PR rush that they were on, that they let him go. And of course, he's out and he's gone, yo, who knew? Everybody, that's who knew, you dick. Don't fucking go to, you know, and it's like, if you're going to go to a backwards place, don't complain that they then hit you with a backward laws. That's sort of what they do. Mm-hmm. It's their house. You were the one who chose to go to it. And they couldn't really have made it any clearer. They don't fucking want you to.
Who's that kid? We had the case over here, like, in the 90s. That kid who was in Sri Lanka and got done for robbery or theft or something. And the punishment there is just getting your ass beat with a cane. Mm-hmm. And there's a big media furor about, my God, what a horrible... horrible country. It's like his dumb ass went there and committed a crime. know the rules, man.
Right.
Yeah.
You're gonna get a boot through the fence.
That's the thing. I don't have any right. I think there are certain laws, loads of laws in these countries that are fucking grim, but they are the laws, and they make it clear to you. Yeah. So don't go.
Do you have any thoughts after your shark attack? I didn't realize the blood in the water would attract them.
I thought the name shark bait for this spray was completely, you know, just ironic. But hey, it turns out it was better.
Eau de seal.
you see that caning guy, you're absolutely right. Although the one good thing that came out of it was that Paul Heyman saw that on the TV and he introduced caning in ECW. Yeah. So a wrestling staple was born out of some idiot stupidity. but no, all the time, and they always seem so offended when they're interviewed afterwards. And it's like, as you said, it's their laws, it's their rules, it's their country.
Spit gum out in Singapore, see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone knows. Everyone knows.
I would bring that in over here, though.
So yesterday, your own version of sovereign citizens there that tried to overthrow your government or what the fuck were they doing? Like, we're going to storm Edinburgh Castle. But my favorite moment in all that was one of them explaining to the cop. She's like, no, we're not protesters. We're here to take it back. And he just goes, yeah, right. No worries. And walks away.
It's like, have it. It's a museum. Do you know what I mean? It's not. I don't know quite what they thought the use would be, because Edinburgh Castle, of course, is built on a dormant volcano. Mm-hmm. And it was great if you were being attacked by the English because you had the high ground. It was unlikely that was going to happen in an anti-vax protesting.
Mm-hmm. It smacked very much, and it's a shame that they were kind of coming back to it. It smacks of George Bush's Middle Eastern attacks after 9/11. It was a completely wrong target. Just nowhere near it.
Saudi Arabia, what? No. What? No. They're fine.
I personally don't understand not taking a vax, but I can at least, I can see where they're coming from. What I don't understand are people who get so upset about other people getting it. You know, it's fair enough. If you don't want it, I disagree. I think it would be sensible for you to have it, but for your own reasons, you don't want to. It is your body. Although when you say, when I found that with some of my more right-wing friends, when they say, oh, well, it's my body, I should get to choose what goes into it. And I say, let's talk legalizing drugs. And right. then finally, let's talk abortion if we're talking about people's own bodies. But but fair enough, I do think...
Let's just talk about the fact that you don't have polio. Right.
Yeah.
Or smallpox. Yeah.
Both. Yeah. Because remember when you had to have those to be able to go to school?
Yeah. but fair enough. What I don't understand are people that are so angry that other people have chosen to get it that they feel they need to storm Edinburgh Castle. And it's one of those meetings that I know I would be no use at, right? Because I know I would be the naysayer. So like, right, I've got this plan. We're against vaccinations. Okay. So we're going to storm Edinburgh Castle, me at the back of the room going, did I miss a step here? Because
We're going to invoke the Magna Carta while we're at it.
Mm-hmm. I've gone completely the other way. It's just like whenever I hear a complaint about vaccination, I go, get a shot, you prick. That's my only response. And it's my body, my rights, get a vaccination, you prick.
The Las Vegas Raiders of Oakland, or however it works anymore,
of Anaheim, have come up with a
great
somehow.
Solution. Yeah, and this was from NBC Los Angeles yesterday. The headline was, the Raiders have imposed you have to be vaccinated to get into their stadium, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, this is driving people insane because not only is it the Raiders, and they're kind of a far right-wing nutjob fan base in a lot of cases, but they also play in Las Vegas now, where, of course, you can do whatever the hell you want. NBC Los Angeles, headline, come with vax proof or get shot on sight.
I think that's a little bit harsh.
I don't care.
Especially tone-deaf for Las Vegas.
Assumed that being Vegas that it was that they got shot. Oh, they mean I shot.
I like that. Like, either way you play this, I'm okay with it. Either give him a jab or shoot him in the fucking head.
Yeah. Like,
either one works out. It's
that's
fine.
Your answer to everything.
Needles and bullets. That's the Shane solution for everything.
David, don't act like you didn't wish. Like 12 cops would have just shown up yesterday and mowed all those fucking morons down. I mean, come on.
That's bad, David. I try not to let him out too often. But there's something to be said for the good old-fashioned British policing of, I don't give a fuck, mate. I'm done at five, and it's
right.
The shift's
problem. Yeah, I really don't like this paperwork now.
Yeah, I am going to ignore this. But yeah, you've taken Edinburgh Castle, and like I said, I've been in Edinburgh Castle, and most Scottish people have. It's a museum, essentially, right? And perfectly fun place to go around if you're into antiquity. But the idea that it was going to do anything significant, I'd love to have been at the planning. That what these protest group need, I've just thought of a business, is a project manager. We should have a project manager for Nutter's business. Mm-hmm. Where we can go in and say, right, what are you upset about? Well, the sky is blue and I'd prefer if it was green. Good point. Right, what we'll need to do is get some vans. Right, here's a timeline of when we approach the Houses of Parliament. Right. You'll need to, by week three, we'll need you to have a Superman costume. Mm-hmm. And we can just, you know, we can make a fortune off these guys.
Yeah. The guys that is actually what happened on January 6th. That was needed. You know, because then we wouldn't have had the horn guy with the furry hat. Just like, okay, that's a bit over the top, sir. That's a bit over the top. We can't have you walking around. Hey, I have an update, actually. I don't know if I mentioned my right wing nut job neighborhood guy that I've got that I walk past with my dog.
You want a few more?
No. I've got my fill here now. It's election time. I'm starting to see how many pricks are in my neighborhood by lawn signs. And this guy, I don't know if I talked about him, during the U.S. election, had a Trump Pence flag.
Yes.
Flying out his backyard. Fucking coward. Immediately took it down after the election was called. Weird.
Well, he needs to order his Trump 2024 merchandise.
Well, we're getting there. So he went dark for a while, and by that I don't mean
the wrong country.
Yeah, he has. By the way, this is the thing: is like you can't vote for him. If you did, that's literally voter fraud. That's literally that. So he went dark for a while, and by that I don't mean he went on stage on open mics and did rape jokes. He went silent, and he replaced that flag with a don't tread on me snake one. So that's good up here. And then that got changed the other day. I was walking the dog.
This is the dumbest fucking flag.
Oh, it gets better, buddy. I walk by and finally I see, it's a U.S. flag. So now he's just come full circle. He's just doing that. And I look upon it upon closer inspection, and it's a black and white flag with the blue stripe. So yes. It's a Blue Lives Matter flag. So I don't know where this guy went to get all these, like hateflags.com, and just ordered them by bulk, and is now just rotating through.
Well, look, if you get one, right, the shipping's all out of fucking whack.
You might as well just get three. Across
the, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
It's just like buying a kit. It's like
that's what I did during the Euros.
You wait till all three come out, you buy all three at once. You know? Shipping's $25. I'm not gonna pay that three times. Ridiculous. Uh-huh.
I did that during the Euros. I got all three flags of the countries that I support. Holland, Scotland.
Conveniently off of hateflags.com.
Truly, yeah. It's there is some symboling in the middle that I've had to tape over.
If anybody doesn't believe that Todd owns hateflags.com at this point, I don't know what to tell you.
Let's just have a look.
He's only been mentioning it for 12 weeks now.
Yeah, blatant free advertising this. But yeah. I got fucked on the old multiple, own fault, but I got fucked on the old multiple shipping thing with our old friends Castore. This week, because they brought out the third top. And incidentally, Rangers, if anyone's from Rangers is listening to this, and I know that one or two do, don't ever, ever fucking wear a new top in an important game. Ever again. Nope. Right? Nope. A home top first game of the season, we can live it. But never, ever. It doesn't work, right? It throws everyone. But they brought out that third kit thing. And, you know,
that's very generous.
I'm trying to. Maybe it will grow on me. I don't know. No, it hasn't. Been a week and still. But being a kit completist, I had to order it, so I ordered it.
Sure.
And then they sent me an email saying, oh, by the way, the goalkeeper, third goalkeeper shirt, which is actually quite nice. It's that white and gold one. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah,
it's quite nice. So, order it. get done twice. It's like, fuck. Next day, there was a couple other things they brought out. And they know with a prick like me, the reason they could have done it with one email, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. But instead, I've been a fiver each fucking time rather than getting them all at once. And I know it's my own fault, but you just end up hating them even more for making you such a dick.
Yeah.
You know, it's just stop bringing shit out, because I genuinely think that I'm an alcoholic, and what Castore are doing to me as a kit collector is the equivalent of walking up to a recovered alcoholic and pouring gin down their throat. That's what this is. They're taking advantage of my mental illness when it comes to kit completism. Right. So
I completely disagree with the excuse of why we were wearing that top in the first place, because you were closer to this, but the word that I heard was that Malmo didn't show up with a proper top, so we had to change.
Apparently, Malmo turned up with only a light blue home kit and a dark blue away kit, which, right. And then apparently it is on the home team to change their kit. Which, you know, because you've got a black away, then that would have been... I don't see why black and light blue would have clashed, incidentally.
Right.
I don't see why our home kit, their navy kit... I mean, they're just as far apart on a color wheel as that.
Yeah.
Black
shit, and, shit grape Kool-Aid looking fucking is, thing. God,
Malmo's home kit is like Manchester City's kit, and it doesn't clash with black, okay? It just fucking doesn't, all right? But... they also have a red kit, but they hadn't brought that. But apparently, the rules are... However, I do think that this had been foreseen. Call me a cynical old person, if you will, right? But the fact that Rangers suddenly had these in the club shop that day, you know, maybe it wasn't that, but I don't know. But, oh, man alive. And everybody knew. All of us knew the second they said, oh, by the way, here's a new kit and we're playing in it tonight. Like, we're getting beat.
Yep.
It was just the most obvious fucking thing in the whole world, wasn't it? And it will be like that, you know, that retro kit from last season. You'll never, you'll never see it again. We might have to wear it on Sunday, actually, because their home kit is dark blue, and our home and away will clash with it. So, yeah, we might be seeing it twice in a row, which will be...
This is why, again, the change kit should be fucking white. Yes. It's not that goddamn difficult.
Yes.
Rangers should have three kits.
Black kit's fine.
Blue,
black
red, be, white.
There you go.
Blue. Oh, first one, blue. Second one, white. Third one, red. That way they won't clash. But we've done this before, do you remember? And it's a great kit. But the Nike away 99-2000, which is the white at the top, light blue, and navy.
Uh-huh.
Great kit, but unfortunately teams we tend to play in Scotland where we need to change a strip are wearing blue, usually a combination of blue and white, and therefore a blue away kit. But as you say, red, that's what you need to do, especially this year. Blue, white, red, and then you're good to go. But no, we had to wear that thing, and again, when they said, because look, to be fair to Castore, which is not a phrase I use often, but I'll try and be fair here. That was something that was brought up a lot in their meetings that they had, you know, focus groups, that people really liked that lilac kit and they wouldn't mind a version of it. What they bent was a copy of it, not what you came up with.
No.
It's their own colour for a start.
Yeah, I know. As soon as I saw it, and then people were like, oh, maybe, you know, once we see it on the pitch and what, no. No. The collar looks like a fucking 6-year-old drew it on. As you said, it has the color consistency of a grape Kool-Aid powder before you add water to it.
It looks like one of those woolly things old people put on toilet rolls. You know, one of those knitted. That's just.
It looked to me like one of the old those. Things from the 90s, like where if you stare at long enough, a boat appears.
Oh, the magic eye,
eye. Yeah,
it's a schooner.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but currently John Gregg is trending on Twitter.
No, why is he all right?
And I've found this out because
Sean Locke was 20 when I woke up, and that was sad. Horrible. So now. Yeah. Don't do this.
No. It's he's very much alive.
Good.
You know, at the time of recording, I don't know what's happened between now and then. And it's a tweet from Graham Bodman that has started this whole thing. I will not go into the Scottish accent to adapt to the grammar that he's using. Something doesn't sit right with me with Tav playing the fucking PlayStation. Can you imagine John Gregg as the captain of Rangers sitting there with a staunch goatee mullet combo playing GTA San Andreas all day, then leading a group of professionals out onto the pitch the next? Weird.
No, I can imagine John Gregg getting drunk as fuck, smoking a pack of cigarettes, then showing up and going to play football.
Exactly.
Yeah. Slightly different. I know that when Rangers have a couple of bad results, people get upset.
We need to win like six in a row. So we stop.
Yeah, we do.
But that one is quite peculiar. Why does he do this perfectly common leisure thing that millions of other people do that isn't harmful in any way to him or his body or his ability? I don't. That's one of the things when Scottish Twitter tries too hard to be manly, you know, it gets a little bit like that.
I'll start worrying, you know, when we're losing to like Alloa and hosting darts tournaments on the same day.
Right.
That's like if Kyle Hutton just starts showing back up around Irox for some reason, then I'll get fucking concerned.
I don't think I'll ever be upset at the players for playing video games. What next? I can't even believe some of our players listen to the radio. Can you imagine Peter McNeil listening to the radio? No, because it wasn't invented then. You know, that's how far back are we going to go? I can't believe some of our players arrived at the games in automobiles.
You know what's going to happen now? We're going to have Gary Havlin, as he always does. He's going to go back through the archives and find like a clip or an ad of John Gregg promoting Pong or something.
Yes,
like that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It never fails. Anytime somebody says some dumbass comment like this, Gary will go find the thing to make them look like dumbass.
Yeah, I just genuinely can't understand people being upset at you know players playing video games. And look, I get that there are certain things that I don't know. If he was playing them at half time, then maybe it'd be slightly missed.
What's that, Skip? What? Yeah, got it.
I managed to put Championship Manager 97-98 on my laptop the other day.
Yeah. How's that?
Oh, it's superb. All you need to do is download the DOS emulator and then the download of the game and just you drag the... Because Windows 10 can't open it, obviously. You just need to drag the exe file onto the DOS emulator. And up it comes, and it's so fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's just so... All the greats are there. Teddy Lucic. Freddie Leon, all these guys that are available, and you know some of the they don't have a 4-3-3 attacking like we play, so you've got to do it manually.
But, look at you being innovative.
Oh yeah, I'm 24 years ahead of my time in this game.
It is like having the almanac in Biff's hands, like because you just know everything.
Oh that. You also you're right, because the signings are so, you can take any to the title because you know all the players to buy.
That's beautiful.
You know, because they're always legendary names. But
what is the best, like, okay, so think back to when you actually played it the first time. Who was the best player that you bought that now has become actually quite good in it? Like he was a rare find in Championship Manager, and then since then he has become like mine. I think it was Jabril Cisse, I picked up.
And he
played wonderfully for Rangers.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Fabrice Fernandez I had before, and he went on a good career. You know, he wasn't a world beater in real life. I tend to remember the ones who were good and then went on to do absolutely nothing. Like there was a guy in the game that we'll remember, Bojan Djordjic.
Yeah.
He was really good in it. And also a teammate of his at the time at Man United was called Eric Nevland. And if you signed this guy, Eric Nevland, for anyone. Then he, you know, like 41 goals in 38 appearances. So I'd done that thing of thinking he must be really good in real life. You know, their scouts have watched them. And then I saw him one time playing for some fucking, you know, no-user team in English Division 4. And he was appallingly bad at football. So, it, you know, it made you realise not to do it. But yeah, it, so many players. I mean, Mark Kerr is an absolute legend.
Yes.
You know, he was one that just, for some reason, they decided they liked. And one of the things about this game, I remember reading at the time, the guys who designed it, the original guys who designed it, were Everton fans. So Everton are surprising. If you go in and manage Everton, you do really, really well. Because they'd obviously cheated. It broke their hearts to see Everton doing so poorly. So if you go in and do Everton, you play really well. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. You can stick it on your phone, and the Android, Apple, doesn't matter. You can put it on your phone. But you'll lose hours to it. You absolutely will.
Honestly, I still have my FM14 save, which is now in March 6th, 2055.
It's going to be like Futurama at the end, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's going to have, you know,
all the players are in jars.
Yeah. John Quincy adding machine up front. That'll be a star signing.
God. Well, I think Lewis McLeod's still in my coaching staff. I have to go through it all. It's just, you know, the thing of it, like I've tried, like I bought FM20, you know, back when lockdown started last year. Kind of played it, didn't really care, you know, got lost. Then I bought the new one again because it came out. I've probably got like, well, that's 14. I know I've missed a couple years, but there's probably five versions of FM I've bought where I've maybe made it through a season and a half. And then, like, you know, especially with us now, the first year and all these, like Morelos, you can't beat off the offers for him, for Kent, for Barisic, Goldson, everybody. It's like, so yeah, no, I just go back to the comfort of my 2020 or 2014 save and keep winning the league. I haven't lost to the Tims in 17 years.
Nice.
The last time.
Nice.
The thing about it is, I was exactly the same as you, because I played Champ Manager for, you know, like, yeah, since I was a kid. And then I sort of, during my lost period, stopped playing computer games, you know, for 5 or 6 years. So when I had, you know, when I was normal again, I thought, I think it might have been, you know, 13, 14, whatever that I call it. And I thought, Jesus Christ, this is now takes more time than actually managing a football club would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, see, and that's the thing with the new ones, too. It's like, I got to worry about data analysis. I got to answer these questions, the players. There's social groups I need to worry about. The players are playing PlayStation on the game. I don't want to worry about that.
Don't
shit.
Care for that. What would John Gregg say? You know.
Well, maybe I'm coming around to John Gregg guy's point, because see, like on 97-98, you flick up available players, and it tells you who's available, and you buy them, and then you play them, and that's it. That's literally it. And I know I'm a bit of a caveman when it comes to stuff like this, but yeah, I'm much happier this way. It's just nice and simple, and it passes the time. See, when you're playing, do you interview yourself? Like, after matches?
Oh, I wonder.
It depends on the match. If it's like, if it's a jobber team, my assistant takes it. But my assistant, though, like, he played for me for 19 seasons. And then I immediately add him as my assistant manager.
Nice.
Soon as he retired. So like that boy has been with me for like 31 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So
oh my God,
I'm okay with him taking the pressers. That's all.
You're
right.
Like Guy Roux at Auxerre, wasn't he there for like honestly something like 45 years or something? Yep. He was
there. There has to be like new functionality in this as well. Like, you know, you just sign a player, they do an announcement, and then you go to bed and you wake up the next day and there's a notification that the player you just bought just liked a tweet that said all lives matter. And you're like, motherfuck, how did, okay.
Oh, see, and that's the other, like the I don't know if the 20 is the one I'm thinking of now in 21, but like, there's like a Twitter feed in there, like a social, you got to worry about this shit.
Right.
Like there's fan polls that can influence how the dressing room. Fuck that. Yeah, Jesus Christ. I don't want this shit.
No, this is not why I do it. I don't actually want to manage a football team. Right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to take up days of my life doing this stuff. I just want to pick a side and see how it gets on in the random generator.
I want to start with Avocat's dream team and go from there. All I want to do.
That's it. You know, I've got this amazing cool squad that was put together back when Rangers had loads and loads of money, and it's all enjoyable. But I can't imagine having to deal with all that crap, and I know it's more realistic, and I also know that people who are younger than me will probably love it all, but anytime I go into it, I'm just lost, you know, because how do I get to play a game? You know, that's really all I'm interested in. How do I actually get them into a match? And you realize you've spent 11 hours on this thing before you've even played your first fixture.
There's been a few times, like in 14, where I've gone back and tried to like either restart with Rangers or start with another, you know, like a lower division English side, like some random ass fucking French side or something like that.
Yeah.
But it takes so fucking long just to get through the first preseason that by the time I get to the first, I'm like, fuck this. I'm going back to my old save. I'm not doing this. Like, it does. No, I don't want to do it. And like, even in this one, you know, if I go into like the saves, you can see a few times where there's like sideways or offshoots where like I took the Ajax job and won, or I took the fucking Arsenal job, and I made it like 4 days and went don't want to do it.
I'm in between seasons right now in FIFA 11, and you know, once the offer of the Celtic jog came up, I was like, no.
Thank you.
And it is this is the thing I hate is like, you know, okay, so the club gives you money and like, well, I better go refresh the side or something. So it's like, you've got 2 months of just scrolling through, waiting for the computer to go, yes, you can have this player, or no, they want to come to a more prestigious team, or this guy died. Like one of, like, it's all those.
One of my favorite things, because I think 14 was the first one that let you like type in additional responses to your answer. So anytime, like, I'm dealing with their manager, I always call him like a cunt or this fucking piece of shit doesn't know. Like, you know, and that's like a expletive laden press conference from Shanahan ahead of the old firm match. It's like, yes.
Right. Just in the presser, and Shane is just typing the word fanny in there 18 times.
Speaking of fannies,
here we go.
This week's Private Eye arrived, and I always enjoy a good read at Private Eye, but this thing, a story caught my eye in this week's Private Eye, funnily enough. Lululemon, the aspirational yoga pants manufacturer. Aspirational yoga pants.
Aspirational.
What the fuck is that? How can a pair of... Firstly, what are yoga pants? Right, surely yoga doesn't require specialist clothing.
They're just like stretchy.
Well, leotard, yeah. Right, so firstly, it's not a thing. And then secondly, aspirational? How the fuck can a...
They're starting off as knickers. They're trying to work their way into yoga pants, David.
Yeah, it's like that. Buy these ambitious yoga pants.
Depending on who you are, it is rather ambitious to try to pull on a pair of one.
I hate when my wardrobe is more motivated than I am.
Exactly. I just wonder if it's going to be something we see in The Apprentice in future. Todd, right. John, and yoga pants are down to the last three. Yoga pants talks about her big idea for a motivational speaking business.
I want a t-shirt with no determination. I want a pair of boxers with no self-worth. Mm-hmm. I want my shorts, you know, my trousers to just kind of be, you know, I don't want them aspiring to anything.
If you ever see me on like a Last Comic Standing or something like that, and something has gone either horribly great or horribly wrong for that to happen, and they're doing the post set interview with me after I crash out of the competition, they're like, what happened up there, Todd? It's like, I think my pants and I were just on the different pages. I mean, we really just, I thought we were coming in there together as a team, and then the pants get interviewed separately. He's like, I don't know what the fuck Van Al was doing up there. It was all I could do to hold in his shit, you know?
I don't want to have heart to hearts with my trousers. Right, I don't want my trousers to sit down and talk to me about a lack of commitment, and you know, I don't have enough ambition for them. It's just not
what wardrobe manager 2021. It's like, except your pants are the ones like having to have the one to one conversation with.
Imagine you had like militant clothing as well, like a shop steward, pair of socks or something that was riling up the rest of them.
Fascist pair of socks.
Yeah. Let's get stuck into our human oppressors. You know, we want certain working hours for socks, and we won't be worn at any other point. I just, you know, at times like this, you read that and then you think, Taliban, have I been a little harsh? It's so depressing. Aspirational. Aspirational yoga pants. Get that it's like my other pet hate is you know, on products where they've got a little phrase where they try and pretend that the actual product is talking to you. Innocent smoothies are really bad for this. It's like, hi, please place me in a fridge because otherwise I won't be at my best. Fuck off.
No. Yeah. Right? You know what I need to say? Please refrigerate. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Like every other fucking product that's ever needed refrigeration.
The ones I hate are like the passive aggressive notes using your dog as the victim in this. Dear dogs, please make sure only your humans go inside this place because we want them to have a great. Fuck off. No dogs allowed. How about that? You know, nothing needs to be whimsical. Not everything.
I genuinely, what goes through their mind? Does anybody read that and go, ha ha ha? Oh, that's wonderful. I'm going to the loyalty branded to this custom forever.
I am going to guess the people that chuckle at that in this country anyway, really had to decide which CBC tote bag they were going to take shopping that day. they probably got done listening to, you know, the vinyl pile on CBC3 and made their way to the shops looking for something organic. That's
honest
just my
to
guess.
God, man. It's just little things. The
PR
annoying.
Company that's driving this is probably the same one doing work for the Taliban.
Oh, yeah.
Just tearing apart the fabric of Western society, one pair of aspirational yoga pants at a time.
Right. Maybe that is like do they like aspirational yoga pants? Do they actually have like live, laugh, love on the ass? Like maybe that's it.
I know that sometimes I can seem extraordinarily baffled by really silly things, but life is just made up of silly things. And, you know, right now, like my wife came in the other day and she says, oh, I've got you a travel coffee cup. I said, oh, cool. I've got several, but, you know, nice you to get it. She went, yeah, this one's a phone charger as well. What?
What?
And she said, yep. She said, as well as a travel coffee cup, at the bottom, there's a wireless phone charger. So if ever you're out, having drank a coffee, you can charge your phone. And I'm just, who the fuck came up with that? You know,
well, I've got to plug in my coffee cup at home.
Yes.
So that I can plug my phone into my coffee cup.
Yes.
When I'm on the road.
Yeah. Oh, you don't need to plug it in. It is wireless. You just set your phone on it and it charges. But whose idea was that? Who thought, I know. I'm often sitting with a cup of coffee and thinking, man, I wish that I had charged my phone. You know,
see,
why?
It comes back to the, and we're going to go back to sounding like very old men, but this has happened in our lifetime that, one, kids aren't slapped enough anymore. And two, they're not told no.
Yes.
When you are a young kid and, you know, you have bad ideas, your parents need to correct that. And instead, it's been encouraged to think outside the bot bullshit. That's how you end up with a coffee mug that you can charge your phone on.
See,
because someone's mom didn't want to tell little Timmy that dinosaurs and fucking dogs can't combine into one giant. No, that's dumb. Stop doing that.
Here's the thing. I think it doesn't fit purpose. Like, to me, those are two incongruous things. If you think of the shape of the travel mug, if they combine that with a slightly larger model that incorporated a fleshlight with a tight lid, now we're having a conversation. Because I have never once said, as I take a sip of coffee, I would really like to charge my phone. I have said, I fancy a wank. I have done that.
Yeah. And that would certainly spice up, you know, your morning commute.
Yes.
You know, to be fair, it would actually be good for productivity because you'd arrive at work just, hello.
Hello.
Ready to rumble. Yeah. You know, hey, I'm
good. I was really angry coming into the status meeting, but you know what? All's good. All's good. Yeah.
Right. Does anyone have a cigarette? Right. You know, that would be, but there are some things that don't need combined. And that was very much one of them. But, you know, if it made them happy.
All these things are supposed to create efficiencies. I feel like just create inefficiencies because you have to, like, I know how all these things work individually. And I know the steps I have to take in my day to be able to do this stuff. But it's not that fucking hard. It's not hard to plug your phone in. It's not hard to have a cup of coffee, right? I mean. So at what point was someone like, oh, you know what I need to do is no, yeah, again, yeah. Someone needs to be there to fucking slap people more often. That's it.
I also have, like, the other thing as well is that I know if I ever was to use it, I'll use it once because then the connector, you know, the charger
will lose it.
Get lost in the pile. No, I can actually see the pile of chargers.
You'll wash it incorrectly and now the charging apparatus doesn't work.
I do want to take my idea on a Dragon's Den just to see the reaction. Just like, here is a travel mug. Let me guess. It's got a phone charger in the bottom. I'm out. Well, hang on. And there's another attachment that you can get for women.
It's a non-sexist thing. But there's absolutely no, I can see a pile of about 67 chargers. And you know how wires, that if you leave them, they somehow come alive and tangle themselves?
Yes.
Even if you just carefully sat them all on top of each other, somehow... I don't know if there's some fairy that comes in the middle of the night and goes hee 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 and does like macrame on them, but there's no way I'm gonna charge that up because fuck that. You know, it's why you need, the only thing you ever do remember to charge is your phone, because your phone charger stays plugged in to the same fucking place. So that's the only one you ever do remember to charge.
Bastards
everywhere.
See, I'm sorry. There's been warning signs about this. Watch the last season of Curb, right? What happens to the warming coffee mugs if you leave them? So they just catch stuff on fire.
Yeah.
Idiots, dipshits. God.
Yeah.
You know what? The longer this week has gone on, actually the past 2 weeks since I've been here last, the more I'm in favor of what the Taliban's doing. So, fuck it.
They're winning.
All right, let's do some of these questions here. David Scott wants to know, who puts in more effort, me attending CrowPod recordings or Barkus during warm-up sessions? He doesn't even make saves in warm-ups. It's fucking awesome.
No, he's an incredible human being, and fair play to him. Because,
you know, I love it. See, this is the exact opposite of the kind of people who give us coffee mugs with chargers. He got paid and then just went, fuck it. You know, I got money. I don't need to keep innovating. I don't need to keep working. Fuck this shit. You got my pay packet? Oh, cool. All right. No, I'm not worried about the clean sheet bonus. Don't worry about that, man. I'm good. Like,
no, oh. he doesn't care.
It's awesome.
I am enjoying them trying to stir up some interest in him, and it's like, nobody's buying this, guys. it's quite peculiar. Similarly with the Scottish media, who are upset about not getting into Ibrox, and they've decided to retaliate by making up some crap stories. I don't know how they think that furthers their their cause? You know, do they expect...
You know, I mean, in fairness to Keith Jackson, all he's done is make shit up since Dave snubbed him for that drink. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it has been nice seeing, Parks and some of the other usual cocksuckers. Although Barry Ferguson doing his best impression of a terrier is getting rather tiresome. I don't understand what the fuck he's playing at half the time. God damn it. Gavin wants to know, he just started watching Loki, the television program. Mm-hmm. How much has Todd looked into buying Time Variance Authority merchandise?
Oh, let me tell you something. It wasn't even that one that started. When Loki hit screens, I was getting so many tweets of, hey, Todd's got to be happy about this, and go, what is this Marvel nonsense? It's like, okay. But there's a TV station in Quebec called TVA, which people always take pictures of and send me. I'm also happy when people send license plates that have TVA. Thank you very much. That's always nice.
We have a whole government operation down here.
The Tennessee Valley Authority. I know, yes. Because I tried to get TVA.com. Fuck those guys.
But visit hateflags.com.
Yes. There we go. Just TVA with like this fist and a very questionable symbol. You know,
check out our Fleshlight coffee mugs.
God. Well, you know, we were needing something to go in the Crow Pod merch store.
True.
Mm-hmm.
God, flags of questionable repute and coffee mugs that'll jerk you off. That's what we've got.
If I buy an aspirational yoga pants, then I'm happy to buy a Fleshlight.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Jordan Spears wants to know, as Rangers went back to the banter years for a laugh last week, when was the last time you were truly pissed off at Rangers? He says for him, it was the 17-8 season and Russell Martin's existence.
Mm. That was probably the last team where I hated, you know, I hated going, and I hated talking about them, which is a bit of a blow considering what I do for a living. And I just, you know, there was a hopelessness. I mean, we're angry and disappointed, but within the normal parameters of football, we're angry and disappointed. That was the hopelessness of, this is never going to change. This is what we are now. I would agree with him on that one.
Because I remember you called me to do a show because I think everybody had kind of gone through that crushing. Well, it was right when we were going to hire McInnes. I think you asked everybody else on the roster and they all went, man, I'm going to go kill myself. So you called me because you knew I'd be at work in the middle of the day over here. And I was like, yeah, I'll come on. What the fuck? I'll come cry on air for you for
sure
for 25 minutes. This sounds awesome.
No, I mean, the last team that I genuinely despised, and I mean, really, like, it embarrasses me that you have a Rangers crest on your shirt, was that one under Ali and then Kenny McDowell. Mm-hmm. The season that we didn't go up from the championship.
Yep.
Where as like you guys have humiliated my club, you've allowed this to happen. Everything was terrible off the park as well. Mm. At least the Three Bears came in and things off the park began to get better. But that period just before that, when McCoy's taking his garden and leave option and McDowell was being held hostage to be the manager and basically came on. His interviews resembled like Daniel Pearl, where, Kenny, what's you thinking today? Oh, I don't know. I mean, I can't quit, you see, because I've got 2 years left in my deal and I need them to pay it up. But as soon as they offer me Albiowski, we didn't ask you that. We asked about your formation. Oh, it's fuck all to do with me, mate. I just turn my back and shout out numbers. I hated them and I hated everything about them and I hated the people running the club. And as bad as results will get, from time to time now, and they have. It's been normal football disappointment, not existential crisis.
Yes. It's losing in cups. It's not. It's not watching like Ross Perry and Darren Cole and Emilson Kubari and Ian Black.
Yeah. Oh God, the Ian Black years.
Yeah, and knowing that it isn't going to change, you know, that like, every football fan deserves every summer to be hopeful. You know, that's it should be a right that you have. And when your club is being, let's face it, absolutely torn apart deliberately, you don't even get that. You know, I remember going into
that season. I don't know if I hated him more, but that was the lowest I got when it was like, okay, we don't need Jig up front because we've signed Fran Sandaza and John Daly. And it's like, what?
There was that sort of like blind drunkenness that you sort of had in that first season in the bottom tier where you just went, okay, this is fine, this is cool. And then it got more and more tense as we found our way going up and up. And I knew it, like, I know when we went down and we were sitting in the Toronto club and everyone's like, you know what, we'll be back in 4 years, we'll be fine. It's like, we're gonna stutter at some point. I didn't have any sort of confidence in the board, and sure enough, I was right. And then we, you know, that stutter in the championship was just heartbreaking. It was just horrible.
We're
better now.
Yeah, we are.
Chris wants to know, Carol Vorderman, you still would, right?
Obviously, we all still
would. Ridiculous question.
Yeah, yes. but I think we have also entered a period in our life where we would say to her, you know, once you've finished, Carol, do some maths for me. I just appreciate watching us solving some equations. You know, I think that we have hit that stage in our life. But hey, as you get older, you appreciate craftswomanship in this case. So, you know, but somebody asked me the other day, Liz Hurley, would you still? And I'm like, are you fucking kidding?
No question.
I would drive there tonight, and I can't drive. I'd have to steal a car to do it, and I would do that. And then there would be all the juddering as I try to get it in gear and shit. I would do all of that. What a ridiculous question.
Yeah. I don't know where you guys consume your Rangers games. I'm on Rangers TV, and the panels that they have pregame, post, and at halftime, it's Emma Dodds that is hosting it. And for the past few games, it's been Neil McCann and Shelley Kerr. And I don't know if you've seen Shelley Kerr lately. I look at that panel and, like, in a square go, she wins. She is fucking severe. Like, Neil will just be, you want to go something? He's like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine.
She knows her shit.
Oh boy, does she! Yeah, like, she's fantastic. She's
really good to listen to.
It is a fantastic panel. I don't know if you saw, David, if you were able to see this one. It was during one of the Old Firm games where Shane Duffy did not cover himself in glory when he came on, and Emma Dodge stutter laughed on the introduction of it. Well, Celtic brought on Shane Duffy to try and help. And how did that work?
Didn't he get man of the match for their first match?
Oh yeah. They're
so, like, he's right back to work, actually playing football.
I know that some of our fans like a panic, but because a couple of Celtic's new signings have started well, they're giving it. Oh, you know, look at how, you know, they're so much better. We're taking them too lightly and stuff. Like, no, but haven't we learned by the 150th season that you can start really well in August in Scotland? Mm-hmm. It's how you do when it's pishing with rain. You're away. You've got some builder turned footballer up your arse kicking you. That's when we see if players are good. And Jesus, have we not seen examples at our own club of August world beaters before? So let's just
I can't calm down. I mean, we're talking about the media bolt. Like, I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it, and I haven't really discussed it with them. But apparently that 45 minutes of their match against Hearts was the greatest example of football the world has ever seen. Going by some of the columns and commentary I've seen over this, so obviously I'm terrified that they did Hearts for 45 minutes.
Yes, we lost to Dundee United and we were rubbish, right? Yes, we lost to Malmo and we were rubbish, but I think we also have some evidence to say that we're quite good. So why not hold on to that for a bit? You know, if we get to October and we're 15 points behind, then totally you were right. But I don't understand that thing when people go, they turn around when Rangers do badly and go, ha ha, I was right. And you're like, do you feel any better? does that make us being 15 points behind any better? Do you? Is this worth it to you? So why not just support the team and see where it goes?
Yeah, I would just refute every one of those things with Calvin Bassey. Calvin Bassey. Calvin Bassey. Calvin Bassey. Calvin Bassey.
He was so good the other night. Just extraordinarily good.
He's got to keep the shirt now, right? Bourne is still coming back. I mean, he's not fit at all.
Not fat.
And when he's played, he has not played well. I mean,
no, and when Bourne goes into his shell.
Yeah.
No, I'd be the same. And with all due respect to Alasha Caret, we really should. It's funny, isn't it? But, you know, we talked about standards. If we'd have been offered, you know, the last couple of years, you have to beat this side to get into the Europa League, we would have been doing cartwheels down the road. Yeah. You know, it's because obviously we were so caught up in hopefully getting to the Champions League. So, you know, it's not a bad thing as a consolation prize. And then, as I say, if we don't, then we'll be in the Conference League until 2034.
Scotia says less a question than a statement.
Oh, that never works.
Okay,
well.
Loving this.
In late September 2001, I saw some graffiti which read Martin O'Neill is the Taliban. The question is, does that make him a lizard?
Probably one of the kinder words we could use to describe him. Martin O'Neill was one of the biggest disappointments because he was a Northern Ireland international and he played really well for Northern Ireland and they had a great side when he was in it around about the early 80s. A really genuinely good side, got to World Cups and such like. And so he was a hero of my dad's and he'd always been, you know, someone I really liked. And then he took the Celtic job and then that was that out the window.
Let's see. Oh, this was the big one from Graham Hendry.
There you go.
Any recommendations on where to go if moving to the USA and not wanting to get shot and die from getting shot, killed by a bear, snake, etc., or freezing cold or roast in heat?
Oh, you're
really tying our hands there.
Yeah, because I've really been pondering this one for a couple days now.
Portland.
No, Portland's been about 120 degrees for 3 months. The white supremacists will shoot you, and the cops will help them. So,
right.
I was going to say somewhere like Alaska because you know it'd be remote, but it's cold.
Cold.
There must be somewhere quite, you know, sort of East Coast, although it does get pretty damn cold there.
Yeah. I know.
Although the heat might be an issue, but in Florida, you could move to Ave Maria Settlement. this is a real thing. Go and look it up. Ave Maria. Type in Ave Maria Domino's Pizza. And you'll find that in the mid-2000s, Domino's Pizza owner, who's massive...
It was sold out of Domino's and started doing like crazy right wing conspiracy bullshit.
He invests heavily in Catholic charities and organizations. He built a planned community there, and you're not allowed in with guns. You're allowed to own them, but your visitors couldn't come in and shoot you, or you'll probably get shot by a neighbor, especially on Old Sunday. So, but I take that one back. No, I genuinely can't think of anywhere, but the climate one's the killer.
Well, because, you know, like you said, Portland, you dig up, then it's a little too fucking hot. Maybe like Northern California, but Northern California is burning to the ground.
Right.
There's no place in the middle of the country because you don't want to be here.
Wherever the town in Steve Martin's Father of the Bride is.
Oh, so a set on MGM? Is that the back lot?
Let's look at the evidence. It was very temperate, right? Because his shirt never looked very sweaty. Secondly, did he get shot during it? No, I think you find that he didn't. And thirdly, can't remember what the other one was, but I'm sure
Martin Short shows up. It's always going to be great.
Martin Short shows up. Exactly. So, yeah, that there you go. Go and live in the fictional suburb of Everytown, USA.
I mean, honestly, The only thing I could really think of was like the Fort Jefferson National Monument, which is like 70 miles west of Key West, just in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico.
Right. Colonial Williamsburg.
Hurricanes. No, see, but then you're in Virginia. You got to deal with crazy people. You don't.
Nashville, Tennessee, maybe?
Oh, God, no.
No.
Fuck no. Nashville is just getting worse and worse, dude.
Okay.
I mean, I never liked Nashville. You know, there's a reason I lived in the eastern part of the state for a decade. Nashville can fucking do one. That tornado should have done a better job.
No.
I think you need a special mug. That's what I think you need.
A chug mug. That's what we can market it as, the chug mug.
Chug mug.
At hateflags.com.
Yep, at hateflags.com.
Anyway, there's money in this. By the way, in my best comic book guy voice, if I see this product next week, listeners, I will know you have stolen my idea. Or Todd's idea, which I've just stolen, but still.
Right. I think it was worth it just for the Clouseau impression that you delivered that with. That was nice.
Well, certain impressions I'm good at, certain ones I'm not. I do a brilliant Ernie from Sesame Street.
Oh, beautiful. Ready? Let's hear it.
Hey, Bert.
Beautiful.
Yeah, all right.
Beautiful. And?
Beautiful.
Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you. I told you. I mean, that, look, close your eyes. Rewind that, listeners. Close your eyes. You'd fucking swear it was Ernie. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah. Go look up Ross Marquand's. Did we talk about his micro impressions at any point where he will pick a celebrity and just do like 10 seconds of it or like this is my favorite one that he does. And I think it's the only one I can do. It's James Gandolfini finding a hair in his teeth. Here it is. Do forgive me. Here we are.
What is?
That's it. That's all you do.
Oh, man. Tom Colshaw, MMA, wants to know, how would you escape from a Middle Eastern airport?
Oh,
I would not climb into the wheel well of a C-10. That is bad.
Sit tight and wait for Chuck Norris and Lee Marvin and the rest of Delta Force to come and get me.
Right. I would just show up at the nearest U.S. plane and go, hi, I'm Caucasian. And pretty much they just click the rope for you right there.
There you go, sir. I oh God, I can't even. I mean, one, as we've seen, your likelihood of falling when the landing gear retracts is very high. But two, you're going to freeze to death.
You'll freeze to death. Yeah.
Or before you freeze to death, you won't have oxygen. Like
it's also
you fly. You know, the death zone is what 8,000 meters and up. And you're at about, 8,700 meters, 8,800 meters at cruising altitude? Your body stops reproducing cells. Yeah. It doesn't work.
My dogs travel in the hole.
Nope.
Not going to happen. So, no, it's a bad idea. If you're going in a plane... It's not like a cable car.
Inside the plane.
Yeah. Like one of those trains you see in India with everybody hanging on the side. It doesn't work like that. It's just a really bad idea.
Because there you're on the ground. You're not.
Yes.
You're not.
And
miles and miles.
That's not India. That's Mission Impossible.
Yes. but I just, it's a bad idea. Just don't. Right. And for anyone in the UK, sadly, the people who were doing it are absolutely desperate, and we can understand that. But if you're thinking you'll save a couple of quid on a holiday this year, it's really not worth it. You know, really. And don't think I just bought a Canada Goose jacket, so I'll be fine.
There is a whole Wikipedia page dedicated to this. I suggest before you give this an effort. To go, it doesn't. And also, let me. It doesn't matter if you're flying to a warmer climate, because again, when you're 35,000 feet in the air, it's very, very cold. Very cold. Doesn't matter. Oh man.
We're not going to top that, are we?
No, that was our public service right there. So
I think it was. Yeah. Buy a fucking ticket. That's what we're saying.
Buy a ticket and a chug mug.
All available at hateflags.com.
Hate flags, chug mugs, and don't try. I mean, this has been pretty good. We've saved our life by, you know, by giving good travel instruction. We've spiced up their morning coffee, not thankfully, literally. And, you know, we've told them where they can buy flags to annoy their neighbors. It's pretty good show.
Gorgeous.
Not bad. The quick housekeeping. If you've reached this part of the show, you've already listened to it, so this doesn't really apply to you, but you can tell your neighbors that they need to add the CrowPod feed itself, separate from the Hard and Hip. You're going to get the show either way, but if you're waiting on David, you got to wait a day or two or whenever he gets around to uploading it. So you go to anchor.fm/CrowPod. Is it backslash or slash? I forget.
Backslash.
Okay, so anchor.fm/CrowPod. And just update your feeds, because there is stuff on that does not go to Heart and Hand. Obviously, yes. I've been tied up for the past couple weeks between saving other people's lives and then having a horrible ear infection that made me feel like I got off a roller coaster for 3 days straight. But, and the biblical flooding and the tornadoes. I forgot about that.
Oh, the tornadoes.
Yes, we had the day of tornadoes.
But that apart, it was just laziness.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. As
one of our tweeters said, get the finger out.
Oh, and I forgot my power was out for like 14 hours at one point, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, at one point I had a guy, now blocked, but he was having a rant at me last week, and he said, I noticed that you've been avoiding the press conferences with Steven Gerrard. I was like, yes, I'm in hospital, you fucking helmet. They don't let you Zoom from here.
That was, you know, when the power went out, I hopped on my bike because I couldn't drive out of the neighborhood because there were tree limbs down all over the fucking place. And it took me until I got downtown's just over a mile away. And that was the first time I saw power. Anybody was lucky. So I went to a pub and had to update from there, because the plan was that day to do a couple smaller shows to hold us over until today. And then that didn't happen. And then we had the tornadoes, and then I got the ear infection. So
fuck all you bitch about it.
It's here now.
Just
an hour and a half of quality.
So anyway, anchor.fm/CrowPod. Update everything. If you do Spotify or iTunes or fucking however you listen to your shows, you just hop on there, you click, it'll update your feeds. So that way you get all the other stuff. Todd, you can always find on Twitter at HeyIt'sTVA. Check out his stuff at HeyIt'sTVA.com. Thank you, Todd. Oh, also HateFlags.com.
Sorry, and HateFlags.com. Yes.
Thanks, Todd.
No worries. Anytime.
David, you could probably find at your local, I don't know, hospital entry board. I'm not sure, man.
I've been appearing there more than I've been appearing in Heartland.
Just,
I should
go to any hospital and say, where's your blue room? And he'll be right there.
Actually, a genuine point is that one of the things I have to do, you know, with the whole saving life thing, is I need to sort of cut down some stuff. So you will still hear me on pods and whatnot, but I might be a wee bit more difficult to reach by Twitter or email or stuff, because basically we did an experiment while I was away. And in one day I got over 3,000 messages. Now, under normal circumstances, I would have at least read all of them and certainly replied to most of them. And the doctor assures me I can no longer do that. So I'll be on the site. But if you do get in touch with me to say, you know, that somebody's rubbish, you might not get an answer. And I'm sorry, but, you know, it's either please you or please my wife by not dying. So I'm going with the latter.
Right.
See, I actually had someone bitch that I hadn't responded to a message for like seven hours on the day that the power was out.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't really have access to any of this, you know, because I've tried to take most of this crap off my mobile with the exception of Twitter. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I'm sitting here worrying about the food in my fridge being okay. I don't really have time to give. I'm sorry.
In listening to you two talk about this, I realize none of our listeners give a shit about me. So that is fine.
Yeah, no, you're good.
Totally
man.
Great.
No, we care.
We just assume you're fine. You're Canadian.
We care. That's all that matters.
Oh, I forgot too. The shirt. There was a regular listener who got in touch. He's been going through a tough time, and he had updated his feed, so he abided by the rules. But I know he's been having a tough time, so the Hawaiian shirt's gone. So,
okay.
Thank you for everybody who signed up, but he did follow the rules, but then he just reached out and told me how shitty of a couple months he had. So
I'm pretty sure everyone would agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know, but I might buy another one though. They were pretty cheap. So
and by the way, Shane, thank you so much for the shirt. It's been really rough. Thank you so much.
Hateflags.com. Don't forget, and we'll be back next week. Hopefully on Tuesday.
But yeah, definitely Tuesday.
Yeah, so that'll do it. We'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy.